time to talk some football with a huge Monday night game, the Patriots and the Buffalo Bills, with so much on the line. We get the inside scoop from Michael Hurley of WBZ CBS Boston. Hello, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
I'm excited for tonight. I haven't been able to sleep thinking about it, but now I'm a little worried. Is there a chance the Patriots might overlook Buffalo thinking about the big showdown with the Red Hot Jets next week?
You know, it's a good question. If I were, you know, covering the Patriots, I'd let you know, but I'm strictly a Tom Brady reporter at this point, so I don't know. It's kind of getting awkward, but it is kind of a bummer because last year, week 16, the Bills came to Gillette. It was a Saturday night, Christmas time, and it was one of the best games I've ever been to. It was, you know, I think 24-17 final, big comeback for the Patriots. The place was going nuts. They held on to the division. Literally since that moment, it's been nothing but bad things for the New England Patriots. So definitely a reminder of how much a difference a year can make.
Well, obviously just playing for pride, and yet that's still something. This is a good Buffalo team, and they've got to play them a lot going forward too. And so maybe tonight they can figure out a plan for the future to stop Josh Allen. What might that look like?
Well, they did an all right job of it last time. It's just they forgot to play run defense and got ran all over by the Bills. So Allen, you know, had one of his worst games of the year against the Patriots. So they had that going for them. It just didn't do them a whole lot because of how much they gave up on the ground. So I think it's kind of blending that. It's going to be difficult. Josh Allen, I mean, I've been wrong. This is an admission that I don't enjoy making, but I have been wrong in my life once or twice, and I don't think I've ever been more wrong than I was about Josh Allen, for good reason. He was bad. His accuracy was brutal. He had played in, you know, a low competition Division I football. It looked like a bust written all over it. So to go from, you know, 53% completion to 58% now to 69% completion rate, I did not see that one coming. So credit to him. Stopping him will not be easy.
And the run game, as you mentioned, then that's really been the biggest challenge for the Patriots defense in the last two or three weeks, is the complete inability to stop the run. How can they change that up tonight?
That is a great question. Unless they can add some enormous human beings to play in the middle of their defense, it seems quite challenging. They just lack size, and it's not necessarily poor coaching or poor scheme. It's just, I mean, when Adrian Phillips is basically one of your linebackers, you know that you're lacking in size. Yeah, part of that is losing Dante Hightower to the opt-out, but, you know, you lose players to injury. You've lost Hightower to injury in years past. The fact that they are that thin is it probably doesn't get as much attention as, you know, the quarterback position being quite where it's at, or the receiver position or the tight end position, but I would put linebacker right in there. And really, you know, defensive line, Lawrence Guy is a great player. Behind him, it's certainly a bit lacking in terms of, you know, Bill Belichick, one of his more underrated abilities is his ability to just stack up, 315-pound men who are superior athletes and great at, you know, taking on double teams and holding their gap. They just haven't had it this year. It's been one of their weaknesses, and there's not much they can do about it. So it's just really a matter of how much the opponent wants to exploit it, and the Patriots have to hope, you know, things get boring for the opponent, or they don't hone in on it, because there's not much the Patriots can do about it.
We're talking with Michael Hurley here on Downtown. Having said all of this, the Patriots still nearly won last time out, save for that late fumble. And I'm not going to be at all shocked to see them win tonight, because the one thing they did effectively last time was run the ball, and that may not be the strength of the Buffalo defense.
Yeah, I kind of, for some reason, like the Patriots tonight. There's no logic behind it. I don't have 9 stats to throw at you, but you know, it is hard, even in, you know, the worst of worst years, it is hard to beat a Bill Belichick team twice. It is hard to win, you know, when you get in those double digits. To go from 10 to 11 to 12 wins, it's challenging. The Bills might be able to do it, but it shouldn't be a blowout by any means for the Bills. And I think the Patriots have enough pride, enough talent. You know, they still have some good football players that want to win. Devin McCourty has been really outspoken about it throughout the year, you know. He's, you know, 32 years old, which for a safety is getting up there. And he's saying, you know, basically, you know, paraphrasing, I don't know how much longer I'm going to get to play. I'm going to try to capitalize on every single opportunity I have to play in a football game. So even though a lot of these guys that have been on the Patriots for a while haven't been out of the playoffs for a while, I think Monday Night Football, a divisional opponent that's going to be around for a while. There's plenty of reason, you know, emotionally to get up for it. And we'll see if that translates to a competitive game.
Who knows what the future holds for the Patriots in terms of the quarterback position. But I have to say, yeah, look, he's made some costly mistakes along the way. But I have thoroughly enjoyed watching Cam Newton, the way he plays the game, and the kind of person that he seems to be this year. Where do you come down on that?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, I always approach these things from an entertainment standpoint. What's most entertaining? What's going to be great to kick back with a bowl of popcorn? And Cam has been very good for that. If you look at this Patriots season without him, I mean, that is a slog and a grind. At least there was a legitimate star player, a legitimate number one overall pick who had his own unique sense of style and personality, and everything about him has been good. Unfortunately, it hasn't translated. And I was a big proponent of Cam. I thought it would work. I thought McDaniel's creativity would be tapped into. And whether it was coaching, whether it was Cam's, you know, his throwing certainly hasn't been perfect, or whether it really was the lack of talent in the receiving core, it just has been a disappointment. And I guess that would be another thing I'm wrong about, but I don't like the tone of where I'm going with this conversation being wrong so much. So I will just say, circumstances dictated that Cam couldn't quite be the star that he should have been, which is a definite disappointment.
All right, so next year, who laces him up? Who's the starting quarterback? Do they go get Jimmy Garoppolo back?
Oh boy, to sort of answer that part of the question, I don't know if the draft is going to be the answer, because you know they're going to be, call it, 12th in line, and there's probably going to be three or four teams ahead of them that would really like taking one of the top quarterbacks. So to think that they can just use this terrible year to get the next guy, it's going to be tricky. Maybe they can move up if they want. I don't know if that guy exists, if it's the Wilson kid out of BYU, or if it's the the North Dakota State young man whose name I can't think of right now, but I know he's out there and played like five games with Trey Lance, I want to say.
Yes.
Maybe, you know, it's the draft, but I guess the better question is, do you prefer Cam Newton, who's been here for a year and might have something to build on, or do you prefer going back to the well with Jimmy G, who's always hurt, who, you know, shines, you know, like a comet and then fades out? I don't know. I mean, Bill obviously has a deep fondness for both of those guys. So I guess the answer would be, who would be cheapest? And to me, the answer is still going to be Cam Newton. I think Garoppolo, for all of his warts, just given his salary, is going to demand, you know, some certain level, whereas Cam, you know, came on the minimum deal, bumped it up. He's going to make, I think, $3.7 million this year, give or take. I don't know that he's earned a raise or anything. So you might be able to get Cam back on a similar deal, $3-5 million, and build around that rather than invest whatever it costs to get Jimmy, you know, $15-17 million, which I know they have a lot of cap space, but I think that is typically how Bill sees things, is from the economic standpoint. So if it were Cam and Jimmy, I would think Cam.
All right, as you mentioned, you are also largely now a Tom Brady specialist here. I look at you as I look at you as Jim Gray without the affectionate handwritten notes between the two of you.
Well, you don't know that.
No, you're right. That's true.
you know, we say thank goodness Cam, or at least I did, thank goodness Cam was on the Patriots. I think he's great. Thank goodness Tom Brady didn't retire, because he clearly still has so much left. He clearly still has quite a bit of arm talent, quite a bit of everything that makes him him. And watching him on Saturday, I know some people didn't quite enjoy it. It's a mixed bag out there, but I feel like, just given this era that we live in, and whatever, the media landscape and just social media and everyone, it feels like you're not cool if you're not dumping on everything that's good. And Tom Brady would certainly qualify that. I'm trying to, you know, squeeze every last bit of entertainment and enjoyment out of this man's career, because he shouldn't be doing this right now. Like, absolutely, it should have ended 3-4 years ago. So the fact that he's still doing it, I'm just, you know, mystified. And yeah, the Lions stink, but a lot of quarterbacks face a lot of bad defenses. And Brady still, from the second half against Atlanta and the first half against Detroit, had the best four quarters of football of the last 40 years. So the fact that he's doing all this still, it's unbelievable, it's entertaining, and I love watching it. I'm not going to, you know, make any mistake about that.
Well, and as you pointed out, I mean, what he's doing would be ridiculous if he was 37 years old, but at 43, it's just unheard of in the history of pro football.
Yeah, and again, like on Saturday, it was sort of like, oh, well, the Lions are terrible. Yeah, but you watch the touchdown throws. The one to Gronkowski was extremely well covered. The one to Evans was pretty well covered. The one to Antonio Brown was flat out ill-advised. It was through two defenders, and he's still just, you know, throwing darts into tight, tight windows. His arm strength is as good as ever. There was one play, it was a 4th and 4. A linebacker comes right up the middle. And Brady's weakness forever has been pressure up the middle. He doesn't even give this guy the time of day. He just flicks the shoulder, and then he's out of the pocket, on the move, completes a 15-yard pass on the run. It's spectacular. The only shame is that he was taken out at halftime because I would have liked to have seen a 6 spot, but I guess they have bigger things to worry about down there in Tampa, something those of us in New England, I guess, forget about these days.
Well, enjoy the game tonight. We look forward to it and look forward to chatting with you much in the coming year. I wish you a happy new year in advance, and we'll catch up with you sometime in the lovely month of January 2021.
Sounds like a plan. Happy new year to you as well.
Thank you, Michael. Michael Hurley, WBZ, CBS Boston, with us on Downtown.